It is Veterans Day, as Dave mentioned, and so one of the things we certainly want to do is offer up prayers for all of those who have served on this day, on this weekend, that we remember them. Are there other concerns or joys that you would like to share this morning?
I have a joy. Yesterday we were privileged to meet Jack Turner. He came to visit from Springfield with his family, and we had a lot of cuddle time and changing the diaper time and snuggling and all that. So it was a wonderful day, and we appreciate the prayers that went up to make this a good time together.
My daughter did have her shoulder replaced this week, and she is getting along very well. Well, I'd like to give thanks for a good election. I didn't win the seat, but you know, I feel like it was definitely the right thing to do, and I just want to thank everybody who supported me.
Thank you. Let us bow for prayer. Dear God, we hope, and we hope because of your love and grace, and pray that you would strengthen our hope. We are thankful for the blessing of life and for the good things that we know. And there have been many good things. We are thankful because of the sacrifice of your Son Jesus, who died for us that we might be forgiven, and who was raised unto eternal life that our hope might be assured. We are also thankful that you are with us every day of our lives and in every minute. We pray that you would continually guide our paths, forgive our sins, open our hearts and minds to one another, grow our love. We ask these things for ourselves, but also for our neighbors and for our enemies, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take Time to Be Holy is our song of meditation, number 392. Let us stand and sing together.
Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Let us hear the word. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the word.
Thank you.
my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. This is the way the 78th Psalm begins. And it is repeated later in the Gospel of Matthew as a description of the way Jesus taught, which is very often in parables. Some of the parables of Jesus offer a choice or a vision of two ways, the way of life and the way of death, the good and the evil way, the way of faith and obedience set next to the way of unbelief and disobedience, or in the case of the parable that we have read today, the wise and the foolish way. Think of Moses. Moses, the challenge that he set before his people in the book of Deuteronomy when they were at the end of the wilderness journey, but they had not yet crossed over into the land. This day I call heaven and earth against you as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life, that you and your children may live. Or I think of Joshua at the end of the book of Joshua, when the people have entered into the land and possessed it. Now fear the Lord and serve God with all faithfulness, he wrote to them, he said to them. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Sometimes the parables give us a vision of these two ways. In some of the parables we see surprising examples of faithfulness, like in the Good Samaritan, when it is the outsider who exhibits compassion, or the prodigal, whose father forgives the wayward son on his return home. Some of the parables give us a surprising view of the magnitude of God's grace, like the parable of the treasure hidden in the field, or the leaven, or the mustard seed, as we've already seen today. In each case, we are challenged by some aspect of the spiritual life to pay attention to issues of faith and forgiveness, or love of neighbor, or a number of other things. In our reading today, the aspect of the spiritual life that is emphasized is readiness, being prepared. And it speaks to us both of our anticipation of Christ's return, but it also speaks to us of the presence of God and of Christ in our lives. Sometimes God comes to us, and we must be ready so that we don't miss it. The story is told of a wedding, which will occur when the bridegroom arrives to take his betrothed as his wife, at which time there will be a great celebration. And the bridesmaid's job was to welcome him when he got there, although they were not sure of the exact hour that he would arrive. So they were required to be prepared whenever the bridegroom came, at any time, even if it was in the middle of the night. And the symbol of their preparedness was whether or not they had enough oil to light their lamps. They must pay attention to that detail. There are 10 of them. 5 of them are prepared, and 5 of them are not. And when the bridegroom arrives at midnight, the 5 who are unprepared are away, purchasing oil for their lamps, and they are left out of the celebration. Among the early Christians, as now, there is a belief that sometime after Christ's ascension, there would also be a return of Christ at the end of the age. And now that we are at the end of the liturgical year, only a few weeks away from Advent, our readings draw our attention to Christ's return and the meaning of it, and the meaning of readiness. What does it mean for us to have oil in our lamps? What does it mean to watch and prepare? And we, of course, have been impacted by the delay of Christ's return. The early generation of believers thought that Christ's return was imminent, and for them, imminent meant in their lifetime. We read in 1 Thessalonians, one of Paul's earliest letters, that this was troubling, that some of them became unsettled as the first generation of believers began to pass away. Paul wrote to assure them that nobody would be left out. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. He wrote this to encourage them and to comfort them, but ever since, there has been a kind of Christian cottage industry to try to predict the date that this will occur, which is, of course, not necessary, because both Jesus and Paul warned that nobody would be able to predict the date. Only we should be encouraged by the knowledge that we will all live together with God. And we are left with the question about what it means to watch and prepare. There's a little bit of a tension because of the delay, because the sense of expectation is mitigated by the delay, and we tend to get relaxed. The emphasis on one, either what do you do if Christ's return doesn't happen soon, or on the other, what do you do if it does, sometimes cancels each other out a little bit. But there is much in the New Testament to aid us in our questioning about the meaning of readiness, because what we see in the New Testament are instructions about how to live the Christian life, how to wait, how to look forward, how to be in relationship to God and to one another. On the one hand, attention must be given to the development of Christian character. Of course, we are not able to achieve high character on our own without God's help, but we are not without God's help. Being ready is associated with a lifelong pursuit. A pursuit of righteousness, a pursuit of holiness. And this pursuit comes to us under God and under God's grace, who helps us and works in our lives. There are many passages of Scripture in the New Testament that help us to understand what this Christian character looks like. That's what much of the New Testament is about. It's what a lot of Paul's letters were about. And he gave instructions to people regarding the circumstances that they were in. To give an example, I would like to read from a passage of Scripture from Ephesians that's one of my favorites and that I ran across this week. It's an extensive passage at the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5. But it mentions many things that are helpful to us. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Whoever has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. And do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you have been sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God has forgiven you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. And for this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on the disobedient. Do not be partners with them. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. The light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. I could go on, but I will stop there because it is enough to give us an example. One is, of course, not expected to be perfect. There is mercy in these demands, but a life of readiness consists of a constant, lifelong pursuit, putting off the old self and putting on the new. That's part of what it means to store up oil in our lamps, to watch and to prepare. On the other hand, each of us is given a unique path, a set of unique gifts and relationships and things to do, tasks to perform. And part of what it means to be ready is to seek out God's will for our lives by prayerfully asking and paying thoughtful attention, whatever this may entail. It's different for everyone, but it is our place to seek it, no matter at what stage of life we could be or what circumstances we may find ourselves, to ask God to direct our path and then pay attention. It's part of what it means to watch and to prepare, to choose service is the way Joshua may have put it, to choose life over death. is the way Moses may have put it, to choose goodness and wisdom. These choices that we make and these endeavors that we try to, that we strive to do, come to us as gifts by grace. For when we work, God also is found to be working in us. As a matter of fact, God is found to be working in us in a way that when we get to the end, our claim will be that we did nothing on our own, but God did it in us. We may think of being ready in this way, to be caught in the act of living the life that we have been called to live, of pursuing the character that the Bible teaches us is Christian character. And this very much often, it entails renewing our minds and our hearts that we might change. And doing the path that God has laid out before us, accepting it, giving our best to accomplishing it, all the while asking and praying and believing and hoping that at each step along the way, God will show us the new direction, will give us the resources to be the kind of people that He is calling us to be and to do the things that we are called to do. Let us pray. O God of wisdom and of grace, of Your love, give to each of us goodness, righteousness, and truth, and direct our paths as promised into peace and health, into Your perfect will, that we may each find our truest selves and have joy throughout our days and be caught in the act of following Your example, offering our lives as living sacrifices in the hope of resurrection and eternal life. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. As our hymn of dedication this morning, we will sing hymn number 225, Standing on the Promises. Shall we stand and sing together? Thank you. Lord, as we prepare to leave, send us out, filled up with your Spirit, with hope and peace and love and courage. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.